Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shot to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo.
Yawk Mala, Yawk Mala. Welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am your host, Ink Dan Stanishu. So happy to be with you today. You're joining me so that we can wrap up Season 12, One Shit Wonder. We are doing so in, you know, some sort of crazy, whacked-out fashion, as is, you know, normal for us. Joining me on this journey, of course, is Jericho.
Sup.
Sup.
Pale deviation, you say. Who picked this?
That'd be you, Jack. Oh. You did this to us. All right. And Jim Kata.
I am thrilled to be here for what I can describe as the only Irish karate movie I've ever seen.
Yes.
Or can't see.
I don't know because I feel like our next host here is going to have seen one even though there isn't one. Nick Boxer.
No, this is a first for me, thank God.
Okay. Well, as we know, the movie is called Fatal Deviation, and as we also know, Jack did this to us. So, Jack, tell us now why Fatal Deviation is a one-shit wonder, as if we already don't know.
So, as you say, it's Ireland's only karate movie. It's only martial arts movie. So, James P. Bennett is a martial artist, and he had heard that... apparently that Hong Kong, people in Hong Kong, because he had, you know, done, you know, different contests and whatever and was trained in multiple disciplines. So they had heard that people in Hong Kong were interested in casting him in some movies, but that they wanted to see his work first on film. So he had no film experience, but he came up with a story concept and did some second unit directing and did some first unit directing where the video and the film was destroyed. So then they brought in another director to direct it, but clearly he didn't know what he was doing. And so this guy, he basically did this film so that he could get a Hong Kong film career going. James Bennett, as playing this role where he really stretches himself as Jimmy Bennett, and asked me if it worked out.
No, I don't need to ask. I'm aware.
Hong Kong was not calling after seeing this.
Oh, they're
so
lost.
Surprised.
I agree.
All right.
Imagine now, the follow-up that could have happened had he been able to make a movie with like the Shaw Brothers or something.
Oh yeah, that would have been incredible.
Now we get the best part though. Nick Boxer is going to explain the story for Fatal Deviation.
Yes, this is what if a Jean-Claude Van Damme fan made a film in Ireland? That's what this movie is. It's the story of Kickboxer. Was it Jim's or Jamesy? Generic dude returns home after a long while, encounters some random bullies that all seem to be mobbed up, and tries to figure out what happened to his father, how he died. There's also a subplot with an old girlfriend, which gets very muddy. I don't really know what was going on there.
Well, for one thing, she wasn't an old girlfriend. Unless you're
referring to her mother. His mother?
Yeah, unless you were referring to the fact she's clearly... clearly <flashable. laughs> just another wonderful choice this movie made.
It made choices. It made a lot of choices.
It made a lot of choices. Don't forget to mention the monks.
Yes, the Kung Fu monks.
I was saving that for the later. Because they don't really have anything to do with the plot. They're just cool in there.
I don't know. He spends about 3/4 of an hour training him. So there's that.
3/4 of an hour. That's right.
And when I saw those martial arts moves that monk knew, I thought, oh, he's going to change them so much.
I was wondering, I couldn't figure out what kind of monk was he. Like, is he like half Shaolin, half Friar Tuck?
Yeah.
I actually found the weird thing about the monks. There are multiple monks.
Uh-huh.
And just randomly put in, like, scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they went into the bar, the monks were in there. I'm like, that's an interesting choice.
Dude, this is fucking Ireland. Everybody's in the bar, okay? I mean, let's not make that too crazy, because it's just like, it's a bar. Where else are you going?
So was the main monk a special monk?
I don't know.
Do you think?
I think he was a head monk, yeah. I think. But all I know is that apparently it's not just in Shaolin that monks know Kung Fu. The monks in Ireland also are Kung Fu masters and hold a tournament in their monasteries every year. And you gotta win that, because if you're a criminal organization that runs the whole town, mm-hmm. if you lose that tournament, apparently somehow you lose control of the town.
Honestly, having seen a movie where being the house band of a bar gets you control of the neighborhood, it seemed perfectly reasonable to me. that seemed like a much better example of your power.
No. The reason that they have to win is because they had to win in Bloodsport.
Oh, that's it. That's it.
I freaking love that. So the third act is basically the Mick Kumite, the Irish Kumite that the monks put on. That's a thing that happens in this movie.
In a small town in the smallest room you could ever hold a Kumite.
You could say the Kumite was sparsely attended there.
That's right. To a crowd of upwards of 2 digits.
And some of them cheering and some just clearly confused.
much like I was. So the monk starts every one of these matches. It is basically structured the same as the Kumite, that, you know, there's like a grid of people that are fighting against each other, and it'll lead to Jimmy, our hero, being in the final. And, at the beginning of each match, the monk brings them together, and he says, "There are no rules." Mm-hmm. And then they go at it. But he does that like 4 times, which I just loved.
The first time he does it, though, is after we've already seen somebody get killed in a fight. I thought, is that really necessary now?
Well, the one thing that I learned about...
There was a lot of those fights. I'm like, oh, man, I get it.
I mean, one thing I learned about this was that there are no police at all.
No, I was thinking the same thing.
Because everybody, like, people are getting killed left, right, and center, and there's never any blowback from that. It's just like, well, no, I killed like 6 people, but so it's just the way it works, right?
This is a copless town, clearly, which makes you wonder why it is that the criminal organization is having so much trouble maintaining control.
Well, because you know, Jimmy Bennett is going to remove them because he wants the girl. There you go.
Well, there you go, because he shows up in town because, you know, he wants to find out or go to his father or find out what happens with his father. And, you know, he shows up because he's in reform school, apparently, for the last 10 years. So
is that where he's coming from?
Yeah, he's coming from reform school. And
I was
like,
wondering why he was gone so long.
Is he a
understanding?
Was he slow? Because he's obviously way too old to just be returning to school.
That wasn't my understanding at all. But I guess this is one of those films that's open to interpretation. I thought he was away learning karate.
This is what it lists. This is what it lists when you look at the plot review. This is what it lists, is that he's coming from school. So yes,
I'm going.
But my guess is why is it
the movie, not by what some stranger wrote on the internet. But fair enough.
Either way, no matter what, I'm wondering why it is that he spent 10 years away when clearly wherever he was an easy walking distance.
that's a long scene of him walking, and wherever he was definitely walking distance, a long stroll.
Oh my goodness! How many movies have you ever seen in your life which had a soundtrack more wrongly suited for a film?
Oh, but so much better.
Oh, that's amazing. The music's incredible. I didn't look to see. It must be someone who's in the cast that did that music.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what to describe it as. It's like the kind of music you put in a parody of a 70s movie.
It's like pop music, but kind of upbeat, and it totally doesn't fit the film. It's just... Oh my God. Oh, so great. I still say he was in a reform school. I don't know. Maybe it was somewhere else.
Well, no, it could be a reform school that taught him.
I was too busy looking at him the whole film, wondering why his pants were pulled up to his navel. Why he always had pants up to his nipples. Like those pants were high, man.
Well, that's the way Van Dam wore them.
That's true.
And if Van Damme does it, this guy's going to do it too. Yeah,
that's an absolute.
And high pants pair it with a muscle shirt with a really low neck.
Really low, yeah.
That was the Euro trash kung fu style.
This is, it's something. So I get the feeling we might have a few WTFs. Maybe we should get to scoring.
Yeah, we better... I wrote more notes on this than I have in the last seven movies, and almost all of it's now circled to talk about WTFs. So, all right. So, in our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate each film in five categories. None of these categories is an objective quality. The first category is called schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
Well, it's a very good thing that this doesn't. Will not be scoring this an objective quality, because of course if we were, there's negative numbers that would have to be involved. I struggle immensely the second that I see that something is shot on video. In this kind of case, I struggle mightily with it, and
keep in mind, like I said, the original cameras were destroyed. So they had to reshoot it.
Original camera was a high 8. It was still video.
Okay.
We're talking shit no matter what.
Made for the equivalent of $20,000 in today's in U.S. dollars for today. So what do you expect?
I don't care. No, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. Like ultimately, when I watch this movie, the first thing that I see is that it does not look like a movie to me. It looks like a bunch of idiots getting together and putting something together.
You do watch this and think, is this a real movie? Is this a YouTube thing? What the fuck is this? Did it receive any sort of release whatsoever?
Oh, please. No. DVD, Blu-ray.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's interesting because I mean, there's a whole lot in here that allows for it to be schlocky and over the top and insane, but I can't give it a high score because of its general nature. 5.
So you're saying the video quality is too good to have called it schlocky. Interesting direction on the argument. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah. No, I have a feeling, and I know for a fact, that the rest of my scores are going to be a whole lot higher. But if you just look at the plot of this movie, it is sort of the generic 80s, 90s martial arts film.
That's kind of the fifth category. Not the first. we're touching.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not. I mean, it doesn't have anything that's schlocky, really, other than
what? It's,
there's budget concerns and blah blah blah. But the thing is called Fatal Deviation, a film, a title I had to look up 4 times today to remember. It's just so blah.
So you've managed to hit on every category except for schlock appeal.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm thinking.
No, right. But, it all comes into schlock appeal.
I'm going with the definition of schlock for you, so you understand: cheaper, inferior goods or material trash.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. I mean, it just doesn't feel that way for me, and all those factors lead into that. Schlock to me sounds like it's more of a marketing thing. I just, yeah, whatever. Move on. I'm not changing my score.
All righty then. I thought this film was super schlocky because it's so low budget that you're laughing at it for its badness, which makes you enjoy it, which is what I got. So I think it was super schlocky. I laughed a lot at the terribleness of this movie, many moments, and I knew we'd laugh about talking about it on this show, so I got an 8.
What a divisive film. I had not expected.
No, me either.
Divisiveness of this movie. I guess that's why we have all of us score. this is it is basically shot for about the same budget that El Mariachi was. It is a karate guy who is Irish karate guy trained by a monk to fight in the Kumite. That takes place in someone's basement. I think I'm at a 10 for this. I think it's ridiculously schlocky. I think, and Fatal Deviation as a title is super duper schlocky.
Yes, that's true. Actually, I'm going up to 9 because you say they're fighting in somebody's basement and all the audience members are sitting on hay. So.
Well, this is Ireland, after all. I mean, that's what they still sit on, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I hope we don't have any listeners in Ireland.
More heart than budget.
Well, I mean, see, I actually almost wish that you hadn't said that it was shot for the same amount as El Mariachi, because, I mean, El Mariachi is a significantly better-looking movie. There is no question.
Remember about
that
El Mariachi was only shot for that amount of money.
Yes, yes.
It was like $500,000 to actually finish El Mariachi.
Sure, sure. Now that being said, I mean, when I look at how they finished Fatal Deviation, I mean, there's not a whole lot of money that goes into that.
I don't know that it was $500,000 to finish Fatal Deviation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you shot it on some of the cheapest material available. It was you and all of your friends and the town, which is super small, and you basically were largely incompetent at doing well nigh anything. I'll give it a 5.
Wow.
Wow. I'm going high on this one. I have to say 8. You know what? They came out with like a cohesive story at the end, which
what
is
it did.
Partly.
Well, partly. I mean, it could have gone way farther off the rails than it actually did. And I think everyone's trying. Everyone was still excited by the end to like make a movie. At that budget, that's amazing. Cause obviously nobody's getting paid. So yeah, 8.
I don't know about you guys, but I personally have a soft spot for any movie that's made by some people who are going to make a terrible movie, but they have no idea what they're doing and have no reason, no, absolutely no right to be making it, but just decide to film a movie anyways. I appreciate that in a person. And even if it doesn't turn out, and that's what this is, man. They tried to make a martial arts movie without knowing any idea how to make a movie. And they finished it. Like, they did, it's a full movie. Well, I don't know how long it is if you cut out the bloopers at the end, but they even did the Jackie Chan-inspired bloopers. I got a 9.
I, There are car chases in this movie. There's a car explosion in this movie. There are tons of guns, even though clearly no one on set knew how guns worked.
Oh boy, that's for damn sure.
there's a motorcycle chase. Like, if we talk about More Heart Than Budget being a tiny amount of money and what they actually got on the screen, it didn't go up there in film quality. but it definitely. I mean, the car. It's like the car that they blew up itself. Probably was like half their budget. And I'm pretty sure you actually see the car that they blow up. I think you see it earlier or later in the film as like a empty wreck in the dump.
There might be a continuity error or two in this film.
Well, it's.
I actually thought that was the film. It was a continuity error.
There could be two cars like that. I don't know how you get more heart than this. 10 for me. What the fuck moments?
Now, for me, there's this is one of those movies where again, like I struggled mightily watching this movie, and and like it was enormously painful, and. So, but there was some things like most of it I chalk up to general incompetence, but there was things that I watched and it was just like that I was like, okay, now I'm suddenly like that tweaks my what the fuck meter. And so like one of those things was the flashback to in the bumper cars. That was just one of those weird, crazy, wild scenes. When our hero.
The LSD bumper cars.
LSD bumper cars, yeah. Yes. When our hero was on the motorcycle near the end and he stood up to fire guns and it's just like, he's rail straight. Like, there's no question. And it's like, suddenly he's on like, I mean, it's not a green screen, but it's really terribly done. And then the naked guy in the bathtub was really out of nowhere. For me. And finally, in the credits, the fact that they're showing the bloopers in the credits, and most of the bloopers are of people getting hurt because they're incompetent at doing their job. So that part, that's pretty crazy. So I'll be generous and give it a 7.
There are some like insane elements. Most of you just listed off there. You have the Kung Fu Monk.
I think you didn't come close to touching a tenth of them there.
I know, I'm sure you do. I know you want to watch this movie again.
You have the Kung Fu Monk. You have the end credits. You have the naked guy. You have the naked guy again in the credits for some reason. The fact that the blooper reel is after the credit. Like, it's a really long section of this video. They needed that time to, you know, space out the movie to have movie length, I think. The liberal use of obvious vacation footage I enjoyed. There's some like serious WTF going on. 7.
Wow, I got a 10. I mean, I just think like the WTFs in this thing are unbelievable because for the same reason, it's like so, like the very beginning, like it has to me the most WTF moment since Jim Cotta, in episode 1. Jim Cotta had the training guy. All of a sudden, he had a what do you call it? A vulture? What was it? Was it a vulture?
It was a falcon.
Falcon. Okay, it was a falcon. Okay, so all of a sudden he had this falcon that was on it for no reason, no explanation, nothing, and then it was gone. To me, this has the biggest, the most. It's not the most WTF, but it's the moment that most describes what the category is like since that. In that there was just absolutely no reason for this, and it didn't add anything in it. And he walks in after being in his dad's farmhouse, and he's cleaning things up after breaking in, and you know. And he goes to a base, like I guess a safe or something like that, and he brings out this box, and he picks up the box and he holds it, and then it goes to slow motion while he blows the dust off the box for no reason. I don't know about you guys, but I personally don't find the blowing of dust dramatic or exciting enough to need slow motion. To me, that is like the epitome of what WTF moments are. That sums it up better. I also like that we see those flashbacks, and it's clear he and the girl are dating for at least a couple weeks now. And then they have a moment and they're sitting there together and go, so tell me about yourself. I'm like, you beat out multiple. Things like that are just unbelievable. The entire sequence and fight and everything that happens is a WTF in the one after another in that the junkyard. I love that he's sitting there and he's on a date with the girl, and he's sitting there and they're talking, and all of a sudden he hears bikes, and these bikes are coming from the bad guys who are going to beat up the old monk. But he hears these bikes and instinctively knows it's bikes, people on motorbikes. They must be evil. So he starts beating them up. He doesn't know who they are, or what they're doing.
That happens more. That happens several times in this movie. That he just starts beating someone up.
He has spider sense. I swear to God, he has spider sense. Danger, evil. He just gets up and just runs. And I'm like, what? And then he's on. You know, you mentioned the motorcycle chase. You know, he's standing on the back of the motorcycle, and then the next shot is him sitting, and then he's standing again. And sitting. It's just place. There's a trillion of them, not to mention the entire fights in the monasteries, the choices they make. It's loaded with WTFs of a movie that doesn't know what the hell it's doing, and thank God for that. So I left you. I could go on, but I don't want to take them all. James, you very rarely get a lot of the good ones left, so I'm purposely leaving you some great ones here. And you better cover the very end scene, though. Oh my god! And you know what? You better go into far more detail. They just casually went by the cowboy and the naked cowboy in the bathtub. This deserves huge mention. If that isn't that's as WTF as the farting mulch monsters.
You mentioned that slow-mo. Do you have more? Do you want to?
No, go.
All right. You mentioned that slow-mo dust scene, which did jump out at me. But there are several times in this movie that they use slow-mo, and it never makes sense, the thing that they're doing. At one point, there's a guy slow-mo drinking. There's a guy slow-mo cheering in the crowd. There's a guy using a cell phone in slow motion.
There is a guy. I remember for some reason he walks through the door and there's a close up slow motion shot of his feet and shoes as he walks through the door for no reason. Oh my god.
I have one of those broad questions, film questions. to really get the scope of this movie. So, the mob, the like bad guy. Mob boss gonna run the town when he wins the kumite. What crime did they actually do? what's their crime gig?
I know it's trashing grocery stores.
Yes. Yeah, that's your introduction to this gang is that they're picking on an old guy at the grocery store and they knock over some
tower of toilet paper.
Yeah, if
they had known how valuable that would be now, right. They never would have treated it that way.
Tens of thousands of dollars of toilet paper that they just casually, and at one point the whole gang is together, in a room with like the big boss who's giving them orders, and they're all sitting around a folding table, which is just like, again, what do they do?
It's a good point that these are the criminals. And at one point, a couple of scenes, you see this like big house in this nice place. But for most of it, these rich criminals who run this town are trailer park level places, like just beaten run down, no, like just awful looking places.
There's I think that the other couple things I want to hit is that I mentioned that no one in this movie knows how a gun works. Our hero gets a hold of a automatic pistol and pumps it like it's a squirt gun. Like he's got a super soaker. He just works that action like he's air powered. And he also does the stab with the gun thing, which I love. I always love when they stab when they're shooting.
Did you ever notice that the gun, he didn't have it, and then he would have it, and then he wouldn't have it? Like, he just showed up.
It does
like, he's keeping it in a pocket dimension or something like that. Like, all of a sudden, he has – I'm like, when he was on the bike, I'm like, he had a gun. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he didn't take a gun from anybody, but I guess he's just walking around with one we didn't know it this whole time. But, yeah, it just disappears. But a lot of stuff are disappearing between scenes in this.
There is so much screen time for him doing shadow kung fu.
Oh yeah,
of just doing like karate moves and kata. Kata is the word I'm looking for. Like huge chunks of this movie that he does karate to nobody. The level of random violence that our hero does. So this plays into the ending. The ending is the big bad guy tracks down Jimmy, and he's going to kill Jimmy. And then Jimmy gets the gun away from him and injures the guy. And this guy's like 80 years old, the big mob boss. And then typically this would be the scene where like a guy has like a hidden gun and then you've got no choice. He does not. He just executes him. He just flat out executes the guy.
Police will have no problem with that.
It's self-defense.
If there was police, which we know there isn't.
But there are none. So, you know, probably the monks. The monks are probably the best police force in this. So because you can't go higher 10.
You know what? I left them for you. I was hoping you'd bring them up, but okay. What about when he goes back to I don't know how the gang knew that he won the tournament where he was supposed to be killed and taken out, but apparently they were all ready for him just in case, you know, with their guns and whatever. But I like that the girlfriend gets, or the mom, whatever you want to call her, gets kidnapped and he shows up at his house and he has a note. And the note says, stay away or something like that. So now he knows somehow that the girlfriend has been kidnapped, even though it doesn't say that on the note. And he runs to the monk. And they have this scene where the monk says, you still must fight. And he's like, I can't. They have Nora. You still must fight. But what about Nora? Like in the most dramatic way. It says it like three times. But Nora. And then the monk's like, but you must still fight. And he gets up and then he's walking and then they do music and it's just him walking on this path in between this with this pop, but light, upbeat pop music that doesn't fit and him and his pants pulled way up to his nipples. He's walking around flexing the whole time. His fist clenched, his face. He's all like, I don't know if I should fight or not. Oh, the angst. And this is his acting. And then he goes back and I'll do it. It's so great. So great.
Oh. All right. Our next category is called Memorable Moments.
I know for a fact that I will remember that it was Ireland, that it was Irish. I'll give it a 3.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm just going to remember this as that shitty YouTube video.
That's a fair call.
Yeah, I think that explains some of our deviations in scores is that some of us didn't consider this like a real thing. It was kind of hard to put on the level of what we normally do. Yeah, I'll agree with you. 3.
I got an 8. I mean, for me, the blooper section is for some reason, that's just burned in my head. Like, it was just so odd, and it's just some of it was legitimately pretty funny, and I thought it was interesting to see what a good time these guys were having, how much fun they were having. And just like I will not forget this film. I will not forget his outfits, his pants up to his nipples, and just like it's stuck in my head. I will never forget the look of the monk with the big white beard and the monk who would always announce the matches with these wild eyes. Like it's just burned into my head. So I got an 8.
I think this this to me is the weak category. The what the fuck does is really overpowering in this film. But I'm gonna remember. I mean, Irish karate film is not going anywhere in my head. So a 6 for me. And the final category is crazy.
To a 7. 8 is too strong.
Crazy concept.
Well, I mean, this is a guy who wanted to make an audition tape. Who loves JCVD and tried to make a JCVD movie, and I'll give it a, you know, the fact that he's incompetent and has no, I would give it a 0, but because he has no actual clue how to make a movie, I'll give it a 3, because that's crazy.
Yeah, you can honestly say nobody gave this the green light. He didn't have to pitch this anywhere to get money. Concept-wise, on a whole, I have to go, yeah, it's kind of like generic. 3.
Yeah, not having to pitch. They started this movie without a budget. Not having to pitch it to somebody is a positive for the fact they made it and that it's a crazy concept, not a negative. I mean, for me personally, I'm sitting there going, okay, the first film ever, feature-length film, was made in 1906. The first talkie was made in 1927. The first time martial arts was in a film, at least far as I know, was 1945 with James Cagney and Blood on the Sun. And I'm sitting there going, and so in the next 50 years, and even more if you go the 20 years since, there's been one martial arts movie from Ireland.
And this has salted the earth for the rest of time.
One. And these folks who had no idea what they're doing went out there and did this. I'm definitely going with 7.
I'll split the difference on this because I think it does have a lot of tropes. It's a revenge film and a rescue the girl film, but it's an Irish karate movie. Like, come on. So 5. 5 is my final number there. And each season we have 6 secret modifiers. This film does pick up 1 for having only about 3 people actually work on the movie. So the director is the director, writer, and cinematographer. The lead actor who actually has had a career. He has been a martial arts guy in quite a few films after this.
He usually had the role of like guy at bar who got beat up, or henchman.
But he kept working. So he also does like 5 different jobs in this. So gets the 3 or more jobs modifier, and that brings it to a final total of, and this is hilarious to me, 65.5, tying it with one of the other incredibly divisive films, Big City Blues.
Wow, isn't that amazing? That's perfect. That's awesome.
Apparently we have a divisive film score.
Next time we have a film like this, we won't even bother scoring the rest of it. We'll just say 65.5 and move on.
Yeah, Cap'n Boy, 65 even.
That is amazing, though. Yeah, because it's pretty obvious that when you hit that point, it's usually like 2 against 2. And that always just hits that magical 65.
Well, it was 3 of you with Big City Blues, but I was really strong on the other hand. But no, you and me, James, we love this. We'll set it up a party. You and I will watch this 2 or 3 more times. How's that sound?
I want to every once in a while. I don't often do the like what each host scored, but I think this one does show the divisiveness. Stan 23, Nick 23, Jim 41, Jack 42.
Wow, 2 of us would have had it at the top of like 10, and 2 of you would have had it like right at the bottom.
two of us would have been perfectly happy never watching it ever.
All right, well, that wraps up the Octagon for season 12.
That's something.
Screw those guys, right, James?
I say screw them right in the ear with whatever Irish karate guys do as their special move.
I don't know. What video game has an Irish karate guy?
They just They just throw a handful of Lucky Charms in your eyes.
they're chasing the leprechauns down. That's what they're doing.
Right. You got to be careful, though. That's why he learned martial arts, because I don't know if you know this, but right. If you lose a fight to a leprechaun, you become one. True fact.
All right. Well, Jim, let's do some business so that we can get onto the real business.
All right. Well, please rate or subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube. And we are sponsored by WeTalkPodcasts.com. That is the home of the Octagon that we have mentioned so many times. And also every film we have done so far is sortable and searchable, and it'll take you right to the page of the episode if you click on any of the movie titles. Also, We Talk Podcasts has a Twitter, and they have a Facebook, and we are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Okay, well, after doing all that and wrapping up Season 12, One Shit Wonder, I do believe that it's time to go into the beginning, the true beginning of Season 13. And, well, Jim, this was yours, so explain it, and then we'll get on to picking our movies.
All right. Trying to remember what the hell I called this season. honestly, it's not coming back. did I call it, what, Future Shock, or I had a name for it.
I don't Google remember.
Shock. Days of Future Past? I don't know.
I tend to make every I tend to
well, the world Google the world into it, of
whether
tomorrow.
It needs it or not the world of tomorrow
the
that's
world
right.
of tomorrow
these are Yesterday. Our films all we're picking films all set in the future past.
That's right, and I
now,
forgot
future now past the,
and I need to get the generator going. I forgot to start yeah. to crank up
so
the
future
generator.
Now past that means I'll explain it for you while you're getting that going.
Yeah please
it's
do.
Movies that it's like a movie like the Back to the Future, which was set in 1985 but took place in 2015. Or Back to the Future Part 2 took place in 2015, so it was set in the future at the time it was made, but now we're past it. So and no giant hologram sharks have come out and for Jaws 47 or anything like that in 2015. And so they got some of the technology wrong. And no hoverboards, and I'm pissed about both of these things.
Well, super rich people do have flying cars, so Blade sure. Runner came true. And it is we could start a new life in the off-world colonies. That hopefully that's still true.
We got another week or so.
All right. And as always, we announce these in random order using the Gymrator and Jack.
Oh, I'm going first.
Yep.
Ooh, I like it. All right. In this case, sometimes I don't want to go first because I want to see what you guys do. But in this case, I'm going to go first. I'm picking Creepozoids, because we have not had enough Linnea Quigley on this one. We need some Linnea Quigley in our lives, gentlemen. So Creepozoids is what we're going with here. Because it's set in 1998 and filmed in, I think 87? 87. So there you go.
Nice. All right. And Jim Rate. And it is Nick.
All righty. If you ever wanted to know the future of the budding industry of drive-in theaters set in 1995, I am picking Dead End Drive-In, the 1986 classic.
Dead End Drive-In, is that what it's called?
Dead End Drive-In.
Nice.
I like how you said classic.
You have a very liberal use of that term.
Exactly.
Hey, it's Brian Trenchaw Smith. I'm sure he's going to come up again. All his movies are gold.
All right. Next is me, and I had to pull an audible after this episode was after the movie in this this episode was so reviled for its use of. Of not being proper film, not being having shot on film. I took one out of my list here. So what we'll be doing is 2020 Texas Gladiators.
Nice.
A film from 1983, post-apocalyptic Texas, a band of warriors fight against a fascist regime. Texas, 2020 Texas Gladiators.
All right, and four more. Let's hope for four more films that aren't very good, because, you know,
nope. That's the point. Five more. Stan has to go now.
Oh, five. That's right. Five more. Give us a film that's not good that's good.
Okay, well, I'm really hoping it's going to be good. The year is 1999. John Travis is the toughest cop alive. He is the only cop alive. Adam West is in this baby. It's called Omega Cop.
All right, you just took one off my list.
And off mine.
Good.
Excellent. Wow, all of us.
Yeah, that was the third one on my list, so it was going to
That was number two on my list.
Drop in.
Was Creep nice. Was always on anybody's list?
It was on mine.
Oh, okay.
I thought it actually looked like it could be too good for this.
All right, into the back four. Up first is me. So what the hell am I doing then? all right. I'm gonna put in a film that I had never heard of. And it does actually have some actors that we have heard of. It is a 1987 film called Cherry 2000.
I have a sneaking suspicion you were going to go with that.
Lawrence Fishburne and Melanie Griffith and Brian James.
Nice.
Another one off my list.
Mine too.
Oh, all right, I hope that bodes well for the season. All right, next up is Nick.
All righty. I feel we haven't really explored the genre of future prisons quite enough. So I am picking Ricky O, The Story of Ricky, taking place in 2001.
All right.
Stan.
See, now there's so many that I want to choose. There's no question about it. There's about a billion and one. Because there's some of them, like, there's a lot of action, and then there's a lot of things that are just not action, where we could go crazy wild over the top. But I know that one of our sweet spots is the action, so I am going to go with Equalizer 2000.
I don't even, no idea what that is.
Yeah, nice. Me either. What is it?
It's they're using the ultimate weapon in post-apocalyptic Alaska.
Oh, is that the one with Billy Blanks?
I don't know. I just saw it on Prime and was like, 2000, good enough for me.
It is not. It is a Robert Patrick vehicle.
Okay. Oh.
And Richard Norton, who looks pretty damn buff, is in Roger Corman's post-nuke collection. All right, Jack, clean up.
Oh, am I last? Did you already
last?
Go?
Oh, okay. I did indeed.
My God, I'm having trouble here because I'm stuck between the film that I know I should do, but I'm scared to death to do because I don't know. It could just be too bad and not be enjoyable, and that's the apple. I'm not saying I'm picking that.
Apple.
Please do. I wanted to.
It's totally on my. It was totally on my list. I was almost ready to do the Apple, but there's one movie. There's one movie that I can't remember right now that I really, really wanted to do, but unfortunately I can't remember it. So and I'm trying to find it. But.
The other one I'm trying to figure out is either that or Firebird 2015 AD with Darren McGavin. Mm-hmm. Doug McClure. I'm back and forth between these two. I almost feel like I should throw it up to a public vote, but that's not how this works.
I'll tell you right now, I have seen Firebird 2015-80.
Okay, so let's go with the Apple. Let's do it. It could be just too awful, but hey, I mean, when the guys at Canon Films decide, let's make a movie that's going to win the Oscar, you know, and it's going to be a musical, you know, we got to have something expensive.
See, now, yeah, that's right.
I was really close. So the movie that I was really close on was Americathon 1998, starring John Ritter, Fred Willard, Peter Riegert, Harvey Korman, Nancy Morgan with narration by George Carlin. It's based on a play, has Jay Leno, Meatloaf, Tommy Lasorda. It's like...
I almost chose a similar film in Tunnel Vision. Tunnel Vision was another one.
I saw Tunnel Vision years and years ago.
Yeah, that's another one that was definitely definitely in the running for me. Escape from L.A. and Barbed Wire. I was wondering both of those two. I'm wondering if anybody would choose those. Mm. I was curious about that. But
Barbed Wire was on my long list for sure.
Yeah,
because there's also a rut. Go ahead.
Because I just watched Barbed Wire, I took it off. It's Boogaloo, but I don't feel like it would score high enough.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah, there's a Roddy Piper one called Sci-Fighters.
Sci-Fighters, yeah.
Oh, yes, that was one I definitely had on my list, and I somehow forgot to even mention it. And yeah, that looked great.
And I was scared, but I was super close on Double Dragon.
Okay. Oh, yes, because I saw that just got added to one of the platforms, right?
Because I think
it just got added to Prime.
Yeah, because Mark Dacascos, after watching John Wick 3, I was just like, Double Dragon.
I'm really feeling like maybe I should go with Sci-Fighters over the Apple. Now that you mentioned it, like, should I call an audible?
The Apple's going to be Boogaloo. I have next to no doubt about that.
That's true. We'll find a way to get Sci-Fighters on another time.
Well, there's look at this. It's
harder to find a way to get the Apple on.
I mean, yeah, like, look at this, though. I mean, 1990, The Bronx Warriors. Like, how? I know that Nick is interested in that movie. I mean, there's just oodles of movies out there that fit this
has
genre.
A lot of great.
Yeah.
I had made a decision, like 1990, The Bronx Warriors. I had made a decision. I was like, I'm not going to do an Italian film. So that's why I took a few of these off the list for me.
The one that I pulled at the last minute was a film called Cyber Seeker. Oh, yeah. Don Stroud and Joe Estevez. But it is shot on video, and I wasn't going to go through that again.
No, well, I mean, if it's automatically taking and cutting the score the movie should have in half, then from some people.
Joe Estevez, not like an indie from like years. It was 93. Like it's.
It's interesting, right? Because it has Joe Estevez and Don Stroud. So I mean, it's like, okay, well, you're making a decision to. I mean, you've got real actors at that point. It's not like five schmucks get together and they're like, all right, let's make a movie. I got a high camera. All right. All right.
So since I went last and I was not 100% paying attention because I was too busy thinking about what I'm going to pick next, run down the eight films again, please.
All right. Creepazoids, Dead End Drive-In, 2020 Texas Gladiators, Omega Cop, Cherry 2000, Ricky O, The Story of Ricky, Equalizer 2000, and The Apple.
All right. That's going to be a strong season.
Well, that's season 13, The World of Tomorrow. And tomorrow will soon become today, because I know that we will want to jump in and get talking about these movies. So does anybody have anything else?
Yes. Yeah, I got to say, there's got to be something wrong. I think this is like, since we've been doing the Jim Raider, I think, which is like 6 years, I think at least four or five of them, I've gone first and last. So it's got to be something in here you're doing there.
Well, one of these days I'm going to remember to have a four-sided die instead of using the online number generator.
There you go. All right.
Anybody consider Zombie Strippers so we could get a little Jamie Jameson in there?
It was on my long list, yeah.
Your long list, yeah. Well, I mean, what was it?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Zombie Strippers, that it only takes place 4 years in its own future was kind of negative.
Yeah, I know. I definitely wanted to look for movies that had like a larger zone.
It's like Strange
for the
Days.
The wrongness of their predictions, that has to be like a modifier or something.
Yeah. It's like Strange Days that takes place like 3 years after it came out.
Okay. Well, we're just jibber jabbering with no purpose right now. So let's wrap up this episode.
I enjoy your guys' company.
Yes,
that's such a twist from usual.
Yes, but yeah. I'm just suggesting that we can do that later. So for Jim and for Jack and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
I'm not paying you to sit around here on your arse smoking.
No, boss.
You made me look bad, and that's not good.
Meet me tomorrow by the Seven Oaks.
Why?
Because I'm going to work with you.
Why would I want to work with you, old man?
Your father said that the first time I met him.
What do you know about my father?
go ballistic.
He can sense it before it happens. He can vanish before you realize he's there. And he's the last person you'd ever expect.
Expect the unexpected. In keeping with the ancient ways, there are no rules.
Welcome back, Seagull. How did it go in Hong Kong?
Everything is done.
Good. I have another little job for you.
Change clothes.
Listen, I don't want him in this tournament, right?
And kill that mad monk.
We don't want to look bad in front of Mike. We got to do our job.
Don't be lucky for someone else.
Now look here.
I don't think the girl needs help across the road. Why don't you Boy Scouts go and play in the woods?
You little...
You killed my father. Now I'm gonna kill you.
But what about Nicola?
We'll get her back.
You're very brave to be harassing young women.